2-on-1 early. D'Angelo jumping in. Save there. D'Angelo had his first goal as a Hurricane against Boston. Oh, what a pass! No rush for Jacob Slavin. COVID protocol, no worries. Beautiful pass to Teuvo Teravainen on his offside, and Teravainen makes it 1-0 Carolina. Line change. Svechnikov starts his shift on time. Initial shot, and Jesperi Kokkaniemi takes advantage of a juicy rebound. His reach, Condor-like, does the rest. 2-0 Carolina.
Back in October, Carolina won 3-0. They had a couple of those off Boston players. There, the Bruins get a bounce. Step on.
Back to Slavin, and Slavin! That is a beautiful pump-up shift, and he is having a sparkling, sensational Slavin first period. 3-1 Carolina. Well, there's a gear! Another gear, and another gear after that from Seth Jarvis. His fearless willingness to get to the front of the net that allowed him to make Carolina now makes it 4-1. Maybe the highlight reel goal, and there have been several of Jarvis's young career. What a talent.
The Canes have been on their toes. They've been the faster team. And more time.
Oh, it's again!
Every time I talk, they score. I'm just going to keep talking.
Yeah, just keep talking. You have pearls and vocals that are infinitely better than Ron Burgundy. And the Hurricanes continue to get production across the board.
Now, what the Hurricanes have done, they put the puck in the areas. They've been quicker to get to them to find loose pucks. And George Martin does it right here and find his good friend Derek Stepan in front, who's coming off the bench, and it's in the back of the net again.
McAvoy to the middle, one-timer. Oh, heck of a glove challenging on Pastrnak from Anderson. Pastrnak gets to the middle. Oh, tries to fake Freddie with a quick release, and Anderson, the most important penalty killer of this two-man disadvantage. First penalty has expired. To Pastrnak, big block from Brendan Smith. Paying the price is Brendan Smith.
D'Angelo over to Teuvo. Sauce back to Tony. To Slavin. 10 seconds left in the power play. To Slavin, test over.
Yes, he does! He shoots, he scores! Rod Brindamore asked me to use that this morning. Old school homage to Foster Hewitt.
To D'Angelo. To Svechnikov. Oh, he fanned on the puck.
Follow-up from Aho. Omar. To Pat Sabin. A follow-up from Vincent. And the Canes have struck on the power play. Backbreaking goal if it hadn't happened already.
This is the Canes Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. The Canes Corner Podcast is part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, Adam Gold.
Welcome to the Canes Corner Podcast. I am Adam Gold, and wow, did not see that coming. Carolina 7, Boston, for the most part, just watching a 7-1 final score from Boston. Hurricanes have now taken the first two of a three-game set from the Bruins, and a birdie told me that we will find out. Depending on when you're listening to this, I'm assuming it is already Wednesday. We will find out today when each of the Hurricanes' 7 postponed games will be slotted back on the calendar. So there's that coming. Stay tuned for that kind of news. Carolina now 26-8-2 on the season. They will next play against the New York Rangers Friday night at PNC Arena. And this will be a matchup of the teams with the most regulation wins in the sport. Carolina's 24th regulation victory came tonight, and the Rangers are second in the NHL with 22 wins in regulation. We are brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. No place like it. Sammy Hanna and his crew do a great job. So if it's for the exterior of your home, like siding or roofing or windows, go online. Free no obligation estimate, aluminumcompany.com. A little bit of housekeeping before we get into everything and we laugh at the Boston Bruins. We're not really going to laugh. Oh, sure we will. If you are interested in Canes Devils tickets, on the 29th, which is a week from Saturday, so what, like 10 days, 11 days from now, If you are interested in those tickets, then we will be at the Buffalo Brothers in Wake Forest tonight. Tonight, Wednesday night, tonight. We will be there from 6:30 to 8:30. So if you're listening to this in the morning and you want to come out and maybe win Hurricanes Devils tickets, I have no idea where the tickets are. I just know we're going to give away a pair every 6 minutes starting at 6:30. So I'll be there then. And I look forward to seeing you out there. Buffalo Brothers in Wake Forest, right off of Highway 98 in Wake Forest. I apologize for those of you listening in, Florida, New York, Washington. Don't know where you are. Finland. Apparently we're very big in Finland. So if you're listening in Finland, you ain't going to make it in time. And frankly, you're not coming here just to see the New Jersey Devils. Let's be honest. Unless you're huge Jani Kuokkanen fans. All right, let's get to a quick recap of what we saw. Alec Campbell will join us in just a few minutes. This was a tale of two periods, really, for Carolina. They probably won the game in the first period, to be perfectly honest. 5-0, 5-1 lead after one. It was literally a hurricane of goals. And all five of them happened right in front of Tuukka Rask, making his second start since coming back after the hip injury. And we spoke with Matt Porter of the Boston Globe. He was always hoping to come back, but they just didn't know. So they had to protect themselves, which is why they went out and spent money on Linus Ullmark. He's been okay, but Tuukka Rask is their guy, and my guess is that when Boston gets into the playoffs, it will be 40 in net for them. 40 only played the first period today. He had no chance on four of the five goals, and the one that he might have had a chance on, I mean, goal scorers are going to score that. That was Seth Jarvis in alone around, Connor Clifton. Kyle Clifton is a former linebacker for the Jets. This had nothing to do with Tuukka Rask tonight. But Carolina scored five goals in the first. And again, everything was right there in front. The only blemish in the period I thought was self-inflicted. And it was Boston's power play goal, which happened right after Brett Pesce had an opportunity to clear the puck and tried to do so by whipping it around the boards and out. But it didn't get out, and the subsequent shot went off the skate of Patrice Bergeron in front and between the pads of Freddie Anderson. So Boston Sticks have still yet to beat Freddie Anderson on a shot this year. Remember, Anderson shut Boston out. I think 31 save shutout back in Raleigh in the sixth game of the season, and he gives up just one goal on 32 shots on goal tonight. So Freddie has been very good, obviously, against Boston. But at 5-on-5, Carolina was absolutely dominant in the first period. Think about these numbers, 5-on-5. As good as Boston is and as good as Boston has been playing, they had won five in a row before tonight. They had won eight of their last nine. Marchand was absolutely insane. Pastrnak had eight goals in that nine-game stretch. Marchand had, I think, nine goals in his last six games. It was crazy how well they were playing. Carolina outshot Boston at 5-on-5, 12-7 in the period. Scoring chances for Carolina, 11, Boston, 1. Scoring chances. High danger, grade A chances. Carolina, 6, Boston, nothing. That was the first period. Entirely dominant from Carolina. And in almost every case, Carolina got behind Boston's defense, made them turn their backs to the offensive zone, and did work. They won board battles repeatedly, won net front battles repeatedly, and that was the difference in the game in the first period. Second period, Carolina was lucky. I mean, really lucky. Too many penalties, not good with the puck. They had to kill off a 5-on-3 for about almost a minute, and they did. But they had to kill ultimately three penalties. And the truth is that they were very lucky to get out of there at still 5-1. They lost the period everywhere but on the scoreboard. Maybe a bad break at the first part of that 5-on-3. It wasn't the 5-on-3, but it's what led to the 5-on-3. Looked like there could have been a penalty on Boston for tripping Teuvo Teravainen. None called. Sebastian Aho then committed the trip. I think it was on Clifton. And Aho goes, and then Ian Cole trips Patrice Bergeron as he's coming into the zone with some speed. And all of a sudden, it's 5-on-3 for about 50 or so seconds. And Boston had some chances. Brendan Smith with a block. You heard that actually in the open. One of the many good plays. Brendan Smith, I thought, played a second straight very good game. Maybe his two best games in succession for the Hurricanes. Still a little worried about Carolina's third pair right now with Ian Cole and Brendan Smith. Not a lot of foot speed there. But Brendan Smith was physical tonight. And that block shot was very, very important. And Carolina killed that off, and they managed to survive the period, still 5-1, and then got back to their game in the third, although had to kill an early penalty. Had to kill a penalty to Vincent Trocheck for a cross check on Eric Halla, who I'm going to keep saying this until something changes. Four times this year, the Hurricanes have been called for embellishing. Now, the last one, there were people who said, yeah, Teuvo Teravainen probably dove. I don't see Teravainen as a player who does that. I just don't. I think Teravainen's an honest player. But that's what they called. They called it embellishment. I would bet anything that Eric Halla embellished that. I mean, Trocheck cross-checked him, I guess. And then Halla, like, a half second later, then he sort of stumbles to the ice. I'm like, are you joking? But they called it very quickly into the penalty. I don't know, 30 seconds in, maybe less. Sebastian Aho is interfered with, maybe, by Charlie McAvoy. Power play for Boston nullified. Carolina ultimately gets a power play of their own. Obviously, they score on it to make it 6-1. About almost 5 minutes later, about 4 minutes later, they get another power play. Andrei Svechnikov scores on it to make it, I guess it made it 6-1. Now it's 7-1, and that's your final score. Carolina's penalty kill, 4 out of 5. The only goal that beat Freddie Anderson was a power play goal, and it went off of Patrice Bergeron's skate. And the Hurricanes on the power play were 2 for 3. Ultimately, Carolina ends up outshooting Boston by 2, 34-32. Hits were 26 apiece. I thought it was very big for me that the Hurricanes were as physical as Boston, because Boston came out trying to send a physical message, and Carolina was right there. Block shots, Carolina 16-9 in favor. Takeaways, this was a glaring number, 17-2 in favor of Carolina. They just dominated every facet of this game, except for the second period. And then the two of the best things for Carolina this entire season, the all-star goalie Freddie Anderson, who was excellent in the second period, and the penalty kill, which was excellent in the second period. So that's where we were. That's how we kind of sum up the entire game. Carolina again, 26-8-2. We'll go through the goals, then Alec Campbell will join us for a few minutes, and then we will let you be on your merry way. Carolina got this started at 3:44 of the first. This was about puck retrieval. Teuvo Teravainen retrieves the puck after a missed shot behind the net. He gets it out to Tony DeAngelo, who finds Jacob Slavin, who made a beautiful pass over to Teuvo for the first marker of the game.
2-on-1 early. DeAngelo jumping in. Save there. DeAngelo had his first goal as a Hurricane against Boston. Oh, what a pass! No rush for Jacob Slavin. COVID protocol, no worries. Beautiful pass to Teuvo Teravainen on his offside, and Teravainen makes it 1-0 Carolina.
A week ago tonight, Hurricanes were supposed to be playing in Philadelphia. And obviously that game never got played. But that day, that morning, Jacob Slavin tested positive for coronavirus. So he would not have been in the game anyway. He goes into protocol. He misses the game against Columbus on Thursday. Misses the game against Vancouver on Saturday. and was on the ice practicing yesterday. He's apparently fine. Just in case you were wondering, Jacob Slavin is apparently fine. Dynamite pass to Teravainen for the one-timer, 1-0 Carolina. About 2 minutes and 20 seconds later, it was more net front, this time from Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who got to a loose puck after a shot.
Line change! Svechnikov starts his shift on time! Initial shot, and Jesperi Kotkaniemi takes advantage of a juicy rebound. His reach, condor-like, does the rest. 2-0 Carolina.
All right, in this one, this was also about puck retrieval, and this was about 82, Kotkaniemi winning a battle behind the net. So he gets the puck from behind the net, gets it to Nino Niederreiter along the half wall to the right of Tuukka Rask, if you're looking from the blue line in. Svechnikov takes the shot. Kotkaniemi wins a net front battle in front. He has incredible reach, and he was able to sweep it in past Rask. It's 2-0 Carolina, 6:03, and you're like, wow, can this really be happening? Carolina takes a penalty, had a chance to get the puck out of the zone. Brett Pesce failed to do so. He tried to do a hard rim out of the zone. He couldn't get it out. Puck stays in, and ultimately, I forget whose shot it was, but it went off of Patrice Bergeron's skate and between the pads of Freddie Anderson, and it's 2-1. First power play goal Carolina has allowed, I believe, since the earth cooled. 35 straight kills. That streak is over. Carolina would start another one. But here's what was better, and I actually think this might have been the key moment, as it turns out, in the entire game. My initial thought was in the first period, this was the key moment. But again, Carolina probably won the game in the first period. 13 seconds after Bergeron had made it 2-1 on the power play. First shift after that power play goal. Jacob Slavin's shot from the point found the shaft of Kotkaniemi's stick, and it's 3-1.
You know, back in October, Carolina won 3-0. They had a couple of goals off Boston players. There, the Bruins get a bounce. Step on. Back to Slavin, and Slavin! That is a beautiful pump-up shift, and he is having a sparkling, sensational Slavin first period. 3-1, Carolina.
And that's a good play from Derek Stepan to fight for a puck in the zone. Gets it back to Slavin and puts a shot on goal. Two layers are net front, and there's Kotkaniemi with the shaft of his stick past Rask, and it's 3-1, Carolina. 4.5 minutes later, was it 4.5 or 5.5 minutes later, Seth Jarvis picks up a loose puck in the neutral zone and sweeps in for 4-1.
Well, there's a gear! Another gear! And another gear after that from Seth Jarvis! His fearless willingness to get to the front of the net that allowed him to make Carolina now makes it 4-1. Maybe the highlight reel goal, and there have been several, of Jarvis's young career. What a tally!
It was pretty special. It was very, very special, and he went around Connor Clifton like Clifton was a traffic cone. Just sweeps in from the left-hand side on his offside and then goes upstairs high over Rask for 4-1. And it was just absolutely remarkable. And then 56 seconds later, it just seemed like it was literally 5 seconds later, because I think it might have been the next shift, Jordan Martinook wins a battle behind the net, and goals happen.
The Canes have been on their toes. They've been the faster team, and more time.
Oh, it's again!
Every time I talk, they score. I'm just going to keep talking.
Yeah, just keep talking. You have pearls and vocals that are infinitely better than Ron Burgundy. And the Hurricanes continue to get production across the board.
Now, what the Hurricanes have done, they put the puck in the areas. They've been quicker to get to them to find loose pucks. And Jordan Martinook does it right here and find his good friend Derek Stepan in front, who's coming off the bench, and it's in the back of the net again.
I guess I don't really have to explain it, right? The Hurricanes are at their best when they get pucks behind opponents' defenses. By the way, this is probably not untrue for any other team in the NHL, but Carolina is an exceptional forechecking team. And when they can get pucks back behind the opponent's goal and go and work the body behind the net, good things happen for them. And this is basically what happened all night long. No goal scoring in the second period. We've already talked about it. Carolina was not good. They got away with it. They killed three penalties, including the 5-on-3. Freddie Anderson was great when he had to be. And then in the third, right after Vincent Trocheck is whistled for a penalty for a cross-check on Eric Halla, which, I mean, there's a textbook definition for embellishment, I'm sure, but they did not call Halla on it. And I'm saying this again for the second time in this podcast. Four times this year, Hurricanes have been whistled for embellishment. Zero times have Hurricane opponents been whistled for embellishment. When you watch that, it's very, very hard to legitimately say that, oh, yeah, oh, no, Hollis, he didn't embellish that. Really? Come on. There wasn't enough contact for to make Halla go down like that, but still got to kill it off. They didn't have to kill off very much of it because a few seconds into the penalty, the Boston Bruins gave it back when Charlie McAvoy interfered with Sebastian Aho. So now we skate 4-on-4. Right at the end of the 4-on-4 sequence, Seth Jarvis on the ice makes a very subtly great defensive play in his own zone, controlled, gets the puck out. Carolina now on the power play. They enter the zone with some speed, and they did not score on this part of the power play. They scored with just about 5 or so seconds left on the power play, but it enabled them to get some chances right away. Then, after the puck left the zone, it wasn't a really long power play. Carolina gets it back in, and Jacob Slavin thought, you know what? I have been helping too many other people tonight. It's time for me to score a goal myself.
D'Angelo over to Tabo. Sauce back to Tony. To Slavin. 10 seconds left in the power play. To Slavin, test over. Yes, he does! He shoots, he scores! Rod Brindamore asked me to use that this morning. Old school homage to Foster Hewitt.
I love Trip Tracy. gosh, do I love Trip Tracy. Absolutely awesome. Old school homage. We're going to play that on the radio tomorrow when we talk to Trip. All right, so it's now 6-1 Carolina. Almost 5 minutes later, they make it 7-1. This is also about puck retrieval. Great work down low. Svech got it across to Aho. Backhand try missed. Aho goes behind the net to retrieve the puck. And then he feeds Svechnikov to the right of the net. 7-1.
To D'Angelo. To Svechnikov. Oh, he fanned on the puck. Follow-up from Aho. Omar. Two-pad save and a follow-up from Vincent. And the Canes have struck on the power play. Back-breaking goal if it hadn't happened already.
It was not Trocheck. It was Svechnikov. Trocheck was there, too. Initially, it did look like it was going to be Trocheck, but clearly it was Andrei Svechnikov to the right, a little bit further, like tougher angle, but the net was wide open. And Svechnikov's 13th goal of the season closed out the scoring by the score of 7-1. So just to recap, Teuvo Teravainen had his 11th goal, also added an assist. We had two goals for Jesperi Kotkaniemi. He was a +3 on the night. Tony D'Angelo, 3 assists on the night. A +4, 1936. Jacob Slavin, also a +4. 1 goal, 2 helpers, 22-30 TOI. Absolutely dominant from Carolina. Utterly dominant. And now all they got to do is play the team in the NHL that traditionally they have had trouble with and who might be the biggest challenger to them in the Metropolitan Division. Although, as I say that, I will just amend it by this. I think there are 4 teams that can win that division. Legitimately. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Hurricanes end up as a wild card. It would take some doing, but they could end up as the wild card. Pittsburgh's excellent. Excellent. And they still have one of the best players on earth in Sidney Crosby. The Rangers are awesome, and I still think the Washington Capitals are going to be right there at the top at the end of the regular season. And we'll see. It's probably going to come down to how these teams play against each other. Pittsburgh, Washington, Rangers, Carolina. Carolina has not played the Rangers yet, not played the Penguins yet. 0-1 against Washington. So a lot of games left to be played. But those are the four teams that are going to represent the Metropolitan Division in the playoffs. My man Alec Campbell, Stormwatch Aftermath Intermissions, Carolina Hurricanes Radio Network. What the hell was that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Actually, I don't entirely know how to process it. Someone kind of brought this up to me on Twitter. They were like, you know, does this, like, what, basically, what do you take from this win in terms of, like, you know, does it tell you anything about how this team can stack up against the big boys in the playoffs? And it kind of got me to thinking because, you know, I do think it's a little bit of a nuanced discussion. You can't dismiss it, right?
I mean, no.
The Hurricanes win 7-1 on the road against a team that was 8 of their last 9 and 5 straight in terms of wins. So they were white hot. You know, they had the league's first star last week in Brad Marchand. But at the same time, it's sort of an outlier game. You know, I don't think we got good Boston tonight. And, I mean, credit Carolina for creating bad Boston to some degree.
Right.
But, you know, a game where there's 5 goals given up in the first period and a 7-1 score at the end of the day is sort of an outlier kind of game. So, you know, the hell of a performance from Carolina. And I actually think you could make an argument that maybe the best thing they did was withstand the push in the second period. I mean, the first period was great, of course, and a 4-goal deficit is always going to be hard to come back from, no matter who you are or how long you have left in the game. But Boston was angry. They pushed in the second. They got themselves a 5-on-3 power play, and somehow the Hurricanes came away having not scored but also not giving anything up. So I think that element of the game was probably as important as any goals they scored or the lead that they had. But, man, it was a wild game and a hell of a win.
Oh, it's a tremendous win. My feeling about Boston, I think Boston is excellent. But I think Boston is not the team that they were 2 years ago. And I think the biggest difference, I mean, David Krejci aside, because Krejci, to me, was always the key for Boston against Carolina. Krejci had an advanced brain when it came to the game, and he always seemed to kill Carolina. But the real difference between that team and this team is no Zdeno Chara, no Torrey Krug. I mean, they're missing two of their best 4 defensemen from that team's best version, you know, in terms of the last 5 or so years. And to me, that's the advantage Carolina has. It used to be that Carolina, their strength was their speed. But Boston on the back end was an elite skating team on the back end, and they were more physical. I don't know that they're more physical than Carolina anymore. And they're not as good a skating team on the back end. And in the first period, Carolina lived behind Boston's goal, won every board battle you could win, and then won battles in front of the net. And whereas, I think Boston was bad in the first period, but I'm not sure that they weren't made to be bad. They gave the puck away a ton. So, Carolina did what they should do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, and they're long in the tooth in some regards too. I mean, in terms of Marchand and Bergeron and Rask, you know, especially like, you know, Rask just playing his second game of the season, coming back from injury or whatever. You know, and Marchand's still playing at a really high level, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. They're definitely not as physical. I mean, the two games that we have seen them so far this year, I mean, I think that is just very apparent, because the Boston team that I remember from the playoffs that knocked Carolina out all those times was one that really, really got under your skin. I mean, they played a really pesky brand of hockey, and I have not seen that from them, at least in the two games that Carolina had played against them. But, I mean, you go on the road up there, you don't have last change. They've switched up their top two lines, which, I mean, I think is an advantage for them at this stage.
Yes.
I mean, it's tough to defend against those. I mean, they're just deeper that way,
right?
You know, and when you don't have last change and the matchups are being dictated by them, it's much more difficult. So this is a good win, really, really good win for Carolina. I don't want to take anything away from them necessarily, but I mean, 7-1 games are just, I mean, they're just not commonplace.
Yeah, right. Carolina's penalty kill streak is over, 35 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a skate to do it, Boston. Also, failed clear. Brett Pesce probably should have cleared the puck. He had plenty of time. He could have turned and just lofted it down the ice. He tried a hard rim, and while some people like a hard rim, that didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And
you got to pick your spots.
that is true. True. That was not the ideal time.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, you got to have a feel for these things, right?
A hard rim is all about feel, Alec.
I just I wonder how we would view this game if it were turned around, I guess. I mean, we'd have been looking at it as a butt kicking.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I mean, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was, for sure. But also, I would have been saying, okay, well, you know, flush it and forget about it, because it doesn't feel like a fair representation of what a team is or isn't. So in terms of like making this something about, oh, well, now this means that Carolina is ready, you know, is definitively ready to stack up against the big boys in the playoffs. Like, you know, I'm not sure I'm taking that lead. I mean, I already thought Carolina was a good team and a playoff contending team. So I don't know that it did much for me other than, you know, I mean, that was just a hell of a win on the road against a team that was really hot, you know, and one of your best players was a guy who, or maybe your best player was a guy who just came off the COVID protocol list. So like, I guess that's just how I'm sort of processing it.
Well, the Hurricanes' best player, I mean, he's a freak of nature. Slavin is, I mean, he was, I thought about, well, I'm not going to give anything away. But he was dynamite from the opening faceoff. I mean, he was just awesome all night long. He was part of the first goal. He was the third goal. And I actually think that was probably the biggest goal of the game. Right after Boston gets the power play goal to get back in the game, to make it a one-shot game, next shift, 13 seconds later. Good play by our friend, Derek Stepan, our guy. Stepan makes a good play to get the puck to Slavin. And then Jesperi Kotkaniemi, who really had he had a great first period. I don't know about the rest of the game, but he was awesome.
That's a third line.
Well, that's true. But you know, he on the first goal, was it the first goal? No, it was his goal, the goal that made it 2-0. He retrieves the puck and then gets to the front of the net, and he sweeps in the rebound of the Svechnikov shot. And then he gets to the front of the net.
He just did it.
Yeah.
I'm watching the replay right now on Valley, and he just scored.
Perfect timing. Perfect timing. Yeah. So, like, he was very good tonight as well. But, there was a lot of good, and Slavin was just freaking awesome. He and D'Angelo were both +4 tonight.
Yeah, I loved both of them. We'll get to the Stars a little bit later, but I loved him. I love Stepan. I love their line. The fourth line is great. I mean, Derek Stepan, I mean, that guy, every time he comes back in the lineup, he puts up a point.
Yeah, maybe they should take him out and then put him back in.
I mean, it's essentially what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's like, you know, there's a, you know, I get upset when he gets out of the lineup because I like him. And I think that they're a better fourth line with him in the lineup. But I also kind of like knowing that he can sit and come back and put up points yeah. as if he wasn't sitting. I mean, I haven't gone back through his game log, but I mean, it really does feel like every time he comes back, he puts up at least 1 point. He's effective. He's a, you know, he makes things happen. So I love his game. And he played on the wing, and that's where he's been playing a lot.
Yeah.
Since Jesperi went to the middle of the ice. So, I mean, I think he's a center by trade, is he not?
Oh, he is. He's absolutely a center. 100% a center.
Yeah.
But it was he was very good. I mean, there really weren't many. I mean, how many people weren't good tonight?
Yeah, no, there were very few people who weren't good. I don't think anybody was not good.
I thought Brendan Smith was very good tonight.
Nah, he was. He was very good.
Second game in a row where Brendan Smith has been very good.
Yeah, he played a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, look, if the other team's skating doesn't take advantage of Smith and Cole, then those two guys can be very effective because they block shots and they hit everything. So, you know, Smith had a couple of hits tonight as well. I didn't necessarily love Ian Cole's game, but Smith also blocks Pastrnak at the end of the 5-on-3. That was four. You had to kill the 5-on-3. You had to kill that portion to avoid what could have been disaster at that part in the game. You know, it's midway through the second period, and you know you got almost a minute of 5-on-3 to kill. If Boston scores early on that, now you got the rest of the other penalty to kill. It could have easily ended up 5-on-5-3, and all of a sudden you're going, what just happened here? That was my biggest problem with the second period, is like you got to stay out of the box. I thought the Cole penalty was definitely avoidable, but you know they decided to put their best unit on the ice, which is their penalty kill, and the penalty kill has just been bonkers this year. All right, give me your three stars, Mr. Campbell.
All right, so I did give D'Angelo the third star. I gave Jesperi the second star, and I gave Slavin the first star.
We had a lot of guys who could have gotten stars tonight, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could have given Jarvis a star. I think you could have given Stepan a star if you wanted to. I think you could have given Tavo a star. I mean, there were just a lot of guys. I didn't overthink it tonight. I mean, the two guys who had 3-point nights, D'Angelo being one of them, you know, I thought he was really good. I know he had one giveaway tonight, but, wow. You know, for the most part, he's a catalyst. He's a play driver.
Yeah, no question.
He makes things happen, right? And he moves the puck. Like, I love the way he moves the puck. He is so good at just passing. I mean, he's an upgrade to me.
Well, I'm not arguing with that. Certainly his play has determined that he is an upgrade. And this is, again, not even throwing shade at the other guy. But
right.
He has been way better defensively than anybody had any right to believe he'd be, because there wasn't anything in his background, in his career, that said he was going to be this good defensively. And part of that reason is still why I have it stuck in my mind, where if I were Carolina, I would try to add a top four defenseman, because now I'm not reliant upon that. And if you add a top four defenseman and that guy ends up not being able to play in your top four, you're better for it anyway. So right. if you've got Slavin and D'Angelo playing on your top pair in the playoffs, and Shea and Pesci are your second pair, and you've got top four Joe, whatever that guy's name is, playing with Ian Cole or maybe Brendan Smith on your third pairing, you're a winner. I mean, you have won whatever the deadline deal is. So it sometimes it helps, and I will always give credit to Corey Lavallette for this. Tampa, when they get to the playoffs, for the most part, separate their three best blue liners. They separate Hedman, McDonough, and Sergachev. Sergachev's not a third pair, but he basically plays on their third pair, or maybe McDonough plays on their third pair. And there's a lot of situations where they're playing together. They have two of those guys on the ice together, but for the most part, they'll play Hedman with whoever, Jan Ruda. Jan Ruda's not a top pair defenseman, but it doesn't matter when you're playing next to Victor Hedman. And if you're playing with Ryan McDonough, you're going to look like a better defenseman than you might be. So if you're doing that, I mean, Carolina can be so deep if D'Angelo continues to play like this and they add a guy who can play in their top four. And then if you see any kind of reverting to the mean of D'Angelo's game defensively, then you got protection for it. And it can be on your on your third pair playing against other teams' fourth lines at 5-on-5 and killing it on the power play. So he has been great. By the way, I'm going to answer your Derek Stepan question. Let's see. Stepan comes out of the lineup for two games, comes back in, goal and an assist against the Kings on the road. Next game, doesn't score, then goes out of the lineup for five more games. Chink in the armor. He goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games without a point. Then he scores against the Kings at home. He owns the Kings, 3 points in two games against the Kings. And then they have their holiday shutdown. Then they come back. He's in the lineup. His last DNP because of too many forwards was the Vancouver game. So now he's back in. So in his first game back, three different times, he has points in two of the three. So you were right.
Okay.
You were right. But that's so good. Good on you. All right, here are my three stars. And again, in retrospect, I probably would go back and make Kotkaniemi my third star. But I had Jarvis as my third star. I think underrated was Jarvis's play at the end of the 4-on-4. To get the puck in the offensive zone and hold it enough, and rather than just get rid of the puck out of the zone, made a play. Carolina starts the power play with possession, and they had, 40 seconds of power play time? Was it about that? Maybe a little bit more, I don't know. But so they start the power play with possession as opposed to just getting it out of the zone. But he made a very good play. And I actually think he was very good all night long. And that goal was just, I was just spectacular. It was Jarvis, that goal. it was. So I had him as my third star. I mean, Freddie Anderson was really good in the second period, and he had to be on the 5-on-3. And he had to be in a couple of other situations in that period where Carolina wasn't good. So I gave him a star. In retrospect, I might make Jarvis my second star and Kotkaniemi my third. And then Jacob Slavin. Mm-hmm. I thought about making Slavin all three stars, to be perfectly honest.
I liked Freddie's game. I thought he was good. He made a bunch of saves.
Yeah.
I thought he gave up a bunch of juicy rebounds in the second period. Now, I'd rather him save the puck and give up a juicy rebound than give up a goal.
Good choice.
And the Hurricanes took three penalties in that period, and one of which was they were on a 5-on-3. So you almost, you can't fault him too bad for it. But given the nature of some of the player of the skaters, I docked him a little for the rebounds.
Punished. Punished Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, right. But all in all, I mean, Freddie was obviously good. I don't even know how many saves he had. How many saves did he have tonight?
31.
Okay.
31. Boston has not beaten Freddie Anderson with a stick this year.
Yeah, and, that's the other thing, is the goal they scored was sort of a, it was a very fortunate goal.
It was a shot. A Pasternak shot, I believe, off the skate of Bergeron.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do about that? You know, so whatever. That's the game. It's a weird game.
It is.
You know, it's a fickle game. You know, and Rod was right. Like at his podium, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, they went in tonight. You know, you might get all those same things, and none of them go in, and you're trailing in the after one period. And so it's just a weird game.
So here's what I want to know from Natural Stat Trick. According to Natural Stat Trick, the expected goals in the first period for Carolina were 1. How are any of those shots supposed to be stopped? What are we doing? I mean, how is it going to stop the Teravon and one-timer with the seam pass from Slavin? How is he going to stop Kokkaniemi on the rebound? I guess it was a rebound he didn't have to give up. So maybe that was Tuukka Rask not being in the rhythm of the season. But what was he supposed to stop the deflection by Kokkaniemi on Slavin's shot? Was he supposed to stop Jarvis at the top of the crease with speed that made it 4-1? Right. Was he supposed to stop the step-on goal when the pass came from behind the net right out in front and his defense was asleep?
Right. Yeah. No.
I mean, maybe the second one? I don't know. Maybe the Jarvis. I couldn't understand why the expected goals was 1 in the first period.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't understand that.
I mean, that number had to be at least 3, I would think 4. But I don't know how they do those. So, whatever.
Yeah. Well, sometimes Natural Stat Trick doesn't, you know, your eyes and your what you see on the sheet of paper don't match.
Yeah, plus, like, how didn't most of Carolina's shots come from essentially right on top of the crease?
Yeah, basically. I mean, the only one I remember that didn't was Slavin. Was the I guess it was Kokkaniemi.
No, the Slavin goal came from just above. Actually, Slavin was actually inside the top of the circle when he took the shot. Inside the left circle when he took the shot.
His goal,
right.
But the one that Kokkaniemi shafted in.
Right. Yeah, that was a shot from the blue line.
Right. That's the only one I remember from distance, really. Yeah. But the goal, I guess, comes from the top of the crease.
Yeah, if you go to any heat map and look at where the majority of Carolina's shots came from in all situations, there's a giant, like, ink stain in front of the crease. I mean, almost all of their shots came from in tight. So, whatever.
Well, good. That's what it's supposed to be.
Exactly. All right, sir. With you back, Carolina looks like a Stanley Cup champion. Don't take any more time off.
I don't know what to say. I was born with it. It's just a natural talent. I don't know how it's happening. I can't explain it.
All right. Well, best to Tripp, who I know was your co-host tonight. I saw the photo. It was great.
Tripp was absolutely blasting the Bruins during the first intermission. Crushed them. Just so many fire takes.
Did Decker have anything to say about the third period?
Yeah, Decker showed us what he thought about Boston in his diaper.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
I took that as a sign.
He put a Boston Bruin right in there.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect.
That's right.
All right, man. Appreciate your time as always, Alec Campbell. We'll do it again when the two best teams in the Metro clash on Friday.
All right. Always enjoy hanging out and talking sports with the North Carolina sportscaster of the year.
All right. No, that's enough of that. That's enough.
Congrats,
that.
Man.
Thank you.
I'm busting your balls. But,
no, I totally understand. Totally understand.
I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you very much for being proud of me.
I am. No. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you.
I am thankful.
It warms my heart to see you achieve. I get emotional at achievement.
Do you? Okay. Well,
yeah, that, that,
that understand your part in it. So that understand your part in it.
I just try to have a good time.
That's exactly.
I just hang out.
That's what we do. That's what we do on a daily basis. I think we talked about it yesterday during the show. If I feel like if I'm having a good time, we win. Mm-hmm. It's a win. If I'm having a good time, and my whole goal is to make sure that you also have a good time. And if that happens, then we win.
And, you know, if we don't win, then I'll start my career at the butcher's market.
Oh, which is, man. That would be great.
Yeah. I need to, that's a thing I want to do. I want to learn how to like break down meat. I'm talking about like a whole animal.
Right.
That's why I want to work there. I want to get a cow and just cut it into, you know, and learn how to butcher it.
So is that what they do there? They get like a whole cow, a whole steer, and they just, they cut it up?
I actually don't know what they do there, but I kind of assume so.
Now we got to find out.
Yeah.
Now I got to find out.
It is the butcher's market after all.
That is true. Is there a class you can take for that?
No, but I mean, they have been hiring recently, but I inquired about it a bunch of years ago. I went in there. I was like, hey, like, do you do any kind of like apprenticeships? Because I feel like that's the kind of thing you got to be an apprentice for.
Oh, sure.
As a butcher.
Sure. Now, so
it's like candle making or, you know, cobbling.
Are you a fan? Are you familiar with Masterclass?
I've heard of it, but I'm not that familiar with it.
Basically, famous people who are skilled at a certain thing will teach an online class. It's called Masterclass. So, for instance, if Serena Williams on Masterclass could teach you how to serve or how to threaten to shove a tennis ball down a lines person's throat, whatever it is she's great at. Maybe there's somebody who can teach you, since I think you're more interested in this than I am, how to cut up a cow, how to cut up a steer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, what I do if us having fun doesn't work out.
It's the exit strategy.
You know? Yeah. 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 Like, it's all fine and well for us to have a good time as long as it's working.
Right. That's true.
But the second it doesn't work anymore, then I got to figure something else out.
Perfect. That's a perfect way to end this. And on that note, I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much.
All right. Sounds good. Talk to you later.
Peace. Is there a better way to end that? I can't think of one. Hurricanes win it 7-1. That was a great way to start it. 26-8-2 on the season to play the Rangers on Friday night. And each team has 54 points in the standings. Carolina's got 3 games in hand. That's a pretty enormous game for Carolina, if we could just be serious and look ahead to that. 2 points for the Hurricanes in regulation. 2-point lead, still have 3 games in hand, although the Rangers may have games between now and then. They probably do. I should probably have looked at the Rangers' schedule. By Friday, I think we'll know. Thanks to Alec Campbell. Thanks for hanging out to you. And by the way, Alec brought it up. Yes, I want to thank everybody who either listens to this or hits me up on Twitter for any reason at AGoldFan. And you can always follow Alec at AlecCampbell5 for the congratulatory messages on Twitter. I don't know how. I guess a clerical error. North Carolina Sportscaster of the Year. Whatever. All good. All cool. But thank you very much for showing your appreciation. And that's important because we're trying to have fun, but ultimately we want you to have fun. So I hope you had fun here. We're brought to you by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. If it's for the exterior of your home, you can find it at the Aluminum Company of North Carolina on Hamlin Road in Durham. There's no place like it. Sammy Hanna and his crew are there for you. Siding, roofing, windows, entry doors, storm doors, gutter helmets, whatever it is, they've got it for the outside of your home. Home improvements, aluminumcompany.com. Free no obligation estimate. You can also follow the Canes Corner podcast wherever you get your podcast. And it shows up automatically in your phone. So The game is over. We're done with the podcast. I post it. Zip. It shows up. So let's say you're an early riser. Let's say you get up at 2 to like to do board work. You can listen to it while you muck stalls. Entirely up to you where you listen to it. But let us know when you're listening, where you are when you're listening. What are you doing? Cooking? Walking the dog? Hanging out? Whatever. Appreciate your time. I'm Adam Gold. This is the Canes Corner Podcast. Talk to you Friday.
This has been the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold, presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. You can listen to this podcast at WRALSportsFan.com or wherever you get your podcasts.